The distance between Jerusalem and Jericho is only 18 miles, but the journey is arduous. For starters, Jerusalem is 2,500 feet above sea level, and Jericho is 800 feet below sea level, the lowest place on earth, which means a very steep descent, particularly in the last 5 miles of the journey, which fall 1,600 feet. Jerusalem receives about 20 inches of rain each year and has a very pleasant Mediterranean climate, while Jericho gets less than 8 inches of rain each year and is surrounded by a desolate desert wilderness. Jericho itself is an oasis because of natural springs, which is why it is one of the oldest continuously inhabited cities on earth. It was at Jericho that Joshua led the children of Israel across the River Jordan into the land of promise. To get from Jerusalem down to Jericho, the traveler first crosses the Mount of Olives and then goes by Bethany, home of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Then begins the long descent. As one follows that ancient road away from Jerusalem, the vegetation gradually ceases, and all human habitation with it, so that by the halfway mark, the traveler is in a lonely and dangerous wasteland. Knowing these details of geography and climate helps us understand the text of this morning's gospel, one of the most compelling parables told by the Lord Jesus. But before we examine the parable, one more point is essential. In the time of Christ, and for several centuries before, Jews and Samaritans hated each other with passionate intensity. Each considered the other to be loathsome and contemptible, and both groups did everything possible to avoid the company of the other. And on the rare occasion when they were in proximity, both would insist on the least possible contact, preferring not to speak to or even look at the other. This bitter enmity went back to the return of the children of Israel from the Babylonian captivity, when some members of the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh settled in Samaria, the territory between Judea and Galilee, and they began to marry with locals who were not Jews, leading them to accept strange doctrines and customs that separated them from those who kept the law of Moses. This caused observant Jews to regard Samaritans, perhaps not unreasonably, as heretics, traitors, and notorious public sinners. And now we're ready to look at the parable. St. Luke tells us that a scholar of the law, meaning the law of Moses, asks a question of Jesus, not in order to learn from him, but to test him. In fact, the question is a trap. "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answers his question with a question: "What is written in the law?" In reply, the scholar quotes the great commandment: "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And then the Lord Jesus confirms the lawyer's answer: "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But now comes the trap. The lawyer retorts, "And who is my neighbor?" Again, Luke tells us the scholar's motive. He wished to justify himself, meaning that this man is self-righteous and holds Jesus and his doctrine in contempt. Even the scholar's use of the title teacher or rabbi in addressing Jesus is disingenuous. He does not recognize Jesus as an authentic rabbi, and the Savior knew this full well. So the scholar, consumed with loathing for Jesus, wants to embarrass him by cleverly turning the law of love against him. "And who is my neighbor?" But as he usually does, Jesus evades the intended trap by teaching this hate-filled man the true meaning of divine love. "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Everyone who heard these words from Jesus was a Jew, and the man on the road in the parable would also, of course, have been a Jew. The robbers stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. Those listening to Jesus knew this road intimately and were well acquainted with its dangers, and so they understood that someone in this condition was beyond all hope. Then Jesus continues, "A priest happened to be going down that road, but when he saw the victim, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side." Remember that Levi was one of the 12 sons of Jacob, and that Moses and Aaron were of the tribe of Levi. The hereditary priesthood given by God to Aaron and his descendants was therefore a gift given only to men of the tribe of Levi, Levites. And from among the Levites, some men were called to be the Kohanim, priests of the temple, set apart to offer sacrifice to God. So in this parable, the Lord Jesus is saying that two men, whose entire lives were dedicated to the worship of the one true God, simply passed by the dying and abandoned man on the road, a man they should have recognized as one of their own. Why would they do this? One possible answer is that according to the law, touching a dead body made one ritually unclean, and so a priest who had contact with someone dead or even bloody and dying would be unable to fulfill his duties in the temple without first undergoing a complicated and expensive ritual cleansing. Another explanation is that the priest and Levite were both keenly aware of their location and the danger of falling victim to the same robbers who beat the unfortunate man, now dying by the roadside. A third explanation is that these men, though theoretically religious, were, like the scholar of the law, simply so self-absorbed that they were without basic human kindness. But whatever their motive, they were not moved with pity for the abandoned man, and so they just kept moving. And now Jesus comes to the central point. A Samaritan traveler who came upon the victim was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. In other words, the despised foreigner, the hateful heretic, fulfilled the law of love with selfless generosity, while the two pious children of Israel left the poor wretch to die alone in the desert. But the Lord doesn't stop there. The next day, the Samaritan took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, "Take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back." The victim of the robbers was both a complete stranger to the Samaritan and, as a Jew, should have been an untouchable object of contempt. And yet, the divine law of love moved the hated Samaritan to sacrificial selflessness. And so Jesus asked the self-righteous scholar, "Which of these 3 was neighbor to the robber's victim?" The lawyer, now placed on the spot by the man he meant to embarrass, is confronted with the simple truth of love in action. Which of these 3 was neighbor to the victim? The one, he replied, who treated him with mercy. And so the Lord Jesus completed the lesson, "Go and do likewise." Many fathers of the church read this parable as an allegory in which Jerusalem stands for heaven and Jericho is a figure of the world. The beaten man on the journey is Adam, and he falls victim to his own sins, which leave him as good as dead. All human effort is insufficient to rescue him, and not even the law and the prophets, symbolized by the priest and the Levite, can save the lost soul. And so the man needs Christ Jesus, represented by the Samaritan, to lift him up and lead him to the inn, the church, where he will be restored to life and be among others rather than abandoned in a desolate waste. The innkeeper is a figure of the apostolic office in the church, and the man's healing begins when the Samaritan, or Christ, pours oil and wine onto his wounds, types of the sacraments, which are the ordinary means of grace for our salvation. Whether or not such an allegory speaks to us, we can surely place ourselves in the mind of the scholar who wants to inherit eternal life, but who cannot see what is right before him. We are too often like the priest and Levite in the way we treat other people, effectively excluding them from human community. Political enemies, perhaps, or professional rivals, immigrants, or the homeless, persons with same-sex attraction, or anyone we find impossible to understand or difficult to accept, people of other races, religions, languages, or cultures. We are all tempted to find ways to exclude ourselves from the demands of the law of love. But the parable of the Good Samaritan confirms for us what Moses taught the children of Israel about the law of love in the first lesson from Deuteronomy. This command that I enjoin on you today is not too mysterious and remote for you. It is not up in the sky or across the sea. No, it is something very near to you, already in your mouths and in your hearts. You have only to carry it out.